You're listening to Ascending, the Olim Entrepreneurship Playbook, hosted by Alex Chandrovsky, an Aleph from San Francisco. Aliyah demands leaving the familiar, taking a risk and venturing towards the unknown. This podcast is a map that deconstructs the mindset and habits of Israel's most successful Olim.
Hi, I'm sitting with Stephanie Hodes of Urban Recruiters, a leading recruitment company focusing on recruitment in Israel and worldwide, who's been placing hundreds of people around the world and in Israel for the last 7 years. I really appreciate you taking the time to speak to me. I really appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Alex. I appreciate you coming to our headquarters to visit.
Okay. So, Stephanie, tell me just a few words about how did the company start? What was the motivation behind it? I know you're an Olah from Johannesburg.
Yes, that's right. Funny story, I made Aliyah 8 years ago with the intention of working in journalism. And I arrived in Israel, and just like any good Olah, I enrolled in Ulpan and I started my job search. And I found the process of making Aliyah pretty easy and pretty smooth, and I felt like there was a lot of support from the governmental institutions when it came to, you know, going to the Misrad HaKlita, getting help, getting enrolled in Ulpan. But when it came to the job search, I found it a little bit difficult. I found there was a lack of an organization that was dedicated to helping people who didn't speak English navigate the job market in Israel, and in that respect I felt totally alone. You know, I felt like I didn't have a sound voice to call and say, you know, here I am, I have great skills and experience, I have a lot to contribute, but I don't know where to go. So I started working in my first job here, and along the way, one of my responsibilities crossed over to a little bit of recruiting and HR. It wasn't my background, it wasn't a field I was particularly interested in, but the company I was working for was hiring a lot of Olim. They needed English speakers, they needed French speakers, they needed, you know, people from all over the world, and naturally as the English speaker, they had became my responsibility to find them. And as it turned out, I spent a lot of time, you know, going through CVs, advertising the positions, so much so that I was focusing more on the recruiting than doing my actual job. And I thought, you know, this isn't right. Surely there's a recruitment company who can do this work for me and send me the relevant CVs. But unfortunately, at that time, there wasn't. So I thought, you know, that's definitely a gap. I'm going to open it up on the side and see if, you know, reach out to companies and see if they'd be interested in a service, just like the company I was working for, you know, that needed a pretty good volume of English and foreign language speakers. I assumed that there was many more just like that. So Urban Recruits opened as a part-time business while I was doing my other job. And within about 3 to 4 months, I realized that the demand is really big, and companies were very receptive to receive this kind of service. So we opened full-time about 6 months later, and we haven't looked back since.
Amazing. And so you mentioned this interesting gap between the Aliyah services that were existing of, let me help you get a driver license, let me help Mr. Apanim, let's make sure you have all the benefits.
Let's get your Kupat Cholim, let's get you to Ulpan.
But a job, I think there's two elements that are kind of going to be the focuses of people staying, and that's, you know, do they have a community, okay? And the second one thing is, do they have employment that matches with the skills that they have?
Absolutely.
Right? So what you're doing is such an incredible, incredibly important work, so that I'm just excited to be able to share more of it with Olim or others who are looking. Now, in terms of, let's focus specifically on Olim, right? In your experience of, you have several thousand individuals who already uploaded their CVs into your system. Where do you see the vast majority of Olim applying for work, right? And what kind of skills do you see vast majority of Olim who are making Aliyah through your system actually looking for?
Through our system, I'd say the majority are looking for jobs either in sales or marketing, business development, customer success, IT, graphic design, really anywhere where they can, you know, use the skills they already have, and the added benefit is the language. So we see a lot of Olim, you know, coming with professional careers who don't really need the services of a recruitment company, because if you're a lawyer or an accountant or a doctor, you have, you know the direction you're going. But if you're someone who worked in a sales job or in a marketing role or something, it's not so clear cut where you go when you land here. So generally...
Why not? I'm just curious. Thank you for clarifying that. What's there's the lawyer and the person who's in a sales position, you would say?
So I guess the accountants, usually when they arrive, we have the big four here, just like you'd have anywhere else in the world. If you're specialized in accounting or you're specialized, you know, in an area of accounting and tax or whatever, it's pretty simple for you to just, you know, research the firms and apply directly with them. Whereas if you're someone with more broader experience, you know, you can work in marketing in any field, in any industry. And it's not so clear cut. You can say, okay, I'm going to research some, I'm interested in cybersecurity, or I'm interested in startups or whatever it is, but it's vast. Mm-hmm. So usually we help with a lot of those kind of roles. Mm-hmm. That's really our speciality. And we also help Israelis finding jobs abroad where they can use their Hebrew, which gave us a very interesting niche in this job market.
Interesting. So it's also the other way around as well. Yep. You're helping individuals.
Yeah.
So I'm just curious, who are foreigner companies that are looking for Israelis?
Actually, there's a lot of call centers for all of the big, for Netflix, for Google, for Microsoft. Their call centers are not here in Israel. They have hubs in Lisbon, in Barcelona, in Athens, and they recruit all of their, say, customer support or sales representatives in these kind of call center roles around the world. So for young Israelis who are looking to live and work abroad, it's often a really cool opportunity to go and work for someone like Netflix or Google and get some experience and travel. So we love working on those kind of roles as well. Also, Israelis are just in demand. You know, Israel has the reputation for being the high-tech capital of the world, and often we get companies contacting us from Dublin or from the States or, you know, anywhere looking for Israelis to join their workforce.
Can you share with me maybe like a one or two stories of, again, you don't have to give them a name, but like an Ola that came through your doors and was like a really interesting case that came through, and then you were able to find them the first or the second job that really sticks out in your mind and saying like, wow, that was something really that I could be proud of, or something that urban recruiters can point to and say, wow, that was really what a gift we're able to give the Olim community.
Yeah. I think instead of the case by case of the Olim, I'd like to point out that we've had the opportunity to work with some pretty remarkable startups.
Mm.
And we love to work with startups because we start working with them at a stage where they're small. It's usually just the CEO and the sales and, you know, a team of maybe five or six. And we kind of step in as their outsourced HR, and we build their teams. And what makes us really proud is when, you know, along the years we've had a good relationship and we look at these companies and we see them thriving and succeeding and raising money and,
wow,
you know, growing and growing in numbers to the point where they're not startups anymore. They've expanded and they're huge, and we really consider our role as quite a meaningful and significant one, that, you know, we were able to step in and give them that support they needed when they weren't at a stage yet to have HR.
Mm.
So a company like WalkMe, for example.
Yeah.
I remember when we first started working with them, you know, they were tiny, and today they're one of Israel's, you know, proudest startup success stories. So it's definitely a nice journey to be part of, and it's also, you know, really rewarding for us when we see our candidates who came as new Olim and didn't know where to go, and, you know, now they're part of these big established companies and they have their roles and they're recruiting their friends, and it's pretty cool.
Can you tell me a little bit about just the background of what's the difference in going through a recruitment company rather than, say, a friend who puts in your recommendation, or you apply through a LinkedIn profile that you see comes up on? What's kind of the, from both, the differentiator from the individual is applying, and both also from the company that's working with you?
So it really comes down, and it's a great question, and it really comes down to the relationship that the recruiters have with the companies, because it's a bit of a problem here in Israel, and I'm guessing, I don't know about worldwide, but I know particularly here in Israel that people send their CVs and they never hear anything.
Yeah.
They never hear that they received it, they never hear that they're relevant or rejected or the position's closed or open or nothing. It just goes into a black hole. And for us, when we develop a relationship with a company that would then be our client, we take the time to go and meet them. We understand their company culture. We build a good rapport with them. And we build a system of trust, which means that we've gone in and we've done our work and we understand exactly what they're looking for. So when we have a candidate who we receive for a position, we're able to tell them about this company, to do the first initial interview on behalf of the company, and then to place it with the HR. And by the time the HR has received that CV, they know that we've already taken the time to vet it, to interview, and they trust our opinion enough to say, hey, this is a serious candidate, as opposed to them just receiving, you know, 50 CVs in their mailbox, doing a quick scan. That's the fastest and easiest way to lose out on great candidates, when you're just skimming through a pile of CVs. But we always submit our candidates to the company with a full write-up on who he is and why he's here and why we think he'd be a great fit or she, and that way, you know, even as the process of the interview progresses, we're able to follow up with the HR on behalf of the candidates. So, you know, sometimes you never know, is it too early to ask, you know, how things are going, or take all that nervousness around the interview process and give it to us, and we'll do all the follow-ups and make sure that you're updated throughout the process. And that really is just because we have a great relationship with the HRs that we're able to pick up the phone and say, hey, how was Alex's interview? What did you think of him? Are we going to have a second interview? How much time do you think it's going to take? You know, these are the kind of questions that you can't really ask yourself, but we can.
Amazing.
So that's where it comes in handy.
Are there certain things also we need to know as Olim about the law component? For example, like in a recent interview, for example, I just learned that they asked for references and they said, you know, at least they believe that in HR they can call people that are not your references, like to check up on you or like to know more about you. Are there things that in terms of that we need to be aware about the hiring process that Olim should be aware of, or potential employees should be aware of?
I think
About Israel?
Yeah, I think one of the unique points about Israel in general is people are pretty straightforward.
Yeah, like, and they ask, how much do you want to get paid?
Yeah, yeah, you know what they think and you know what direction it's going, and you know, no one beats around the bush. So I think when you leave an interview, you usually have a pretty good idea of how it went based on, you know, what questions they asked you and how they asked them. With regards to the reference checks, a lot of companies do ask for references, and they will call them, and you know, it's part of the procedure, and if you left on good terms with your ex-colleagues or bosses, there shouldn't be a problem. Some companies do have lie detector tests, which is a little bit uncomfortable, but their main goal is to check that you haven't taken any data from any other company that you previously worked for. So
interesting.
That's also sometimes part of the procedure, mainly when it's companies that deal with, you know, sensitive information or data. So that's another thing maybe just to be aware of.
Are there other interesting just points about the interview process in Israel we need to be aware of? Like, the bluntness is for sure there. I had individuals ask me right away in the first, like within the second question, how much do you want to get paid? I think a lot of people from the Western world can get like thrown off a little bit sometimes.
Yeah.
By that.
Yeah.
But that's just the culture here.
Yeah, it's really just the culture. It's the same as, you know, someone will just ask you straight up how much you're paying for rent on your house or your apartment. It's part of the culture, and it's something that these kind of nuances are, you'll experience them and you'll get through them, and one day you'll look back and see yourself doing the same thing, and that's that's when you know. you're really becoming part of society. You know, for me in the beginning, doing business with Israelis was also very challenging because, you know, I come from South Africa and we're very polite and we're very formal and we write nice emails and we take the time to think about what we're saying. And in the beginning, I was always really shocked about how, you know, what kind of responses we'd get or how Israelis were doing business. And it was very strange until one day I had a call with a UK company. And in the middle, I just wanted to say to him, please just get to the point. All these niceties, all these polite, all this, you know, let's talk tachlis. Hmm. So you adjust. And my main advice would really just be to never take things personally here. You know, if something strange or something offends you, brush it off, carry on. It's nothing's personal. It's just having to adjust.
And two more questions that people have asked me. What can help a person stand out? I'm sure you guys are help people recruit great individuals. Is it the CV that makes a person stand out? Is it a references? What is, if you give I'll use myself as a person who's currently in applying for positions. What are some tips you would say, you know, this is what we've seen really work well when you're in the Olé, you know, this is what I think has really shown off well, as these are three things I think really would have allow people to highlight their experience.
Yeah. Well, I think the CV is a very important one. CVs here in Israel, the format tends to be no longer than one page. Which means even if you've had, you know, 10 years of experience, you have to find a way to condense all of that into one concise, short, clean-looking page, because HR managers are seeing a lot of CVs. Nobody has time to read through everything. They want to open up your CV. They want to see a clear objective, who I am. I'm Alex. I'm new. I'm looking for a role in customer success, whatever it is. These are my skills, this is my experience, this is my education, that's it. So no need to write long descriptions of every responsibility you did or had, or, you know, you can find a way to summarize it nicely in a clean objective. I'd say always just making sure that your CV is updated and is relevant to the position you're applying for. So if you're applying for a role in sales development, you want to highlight that on your CV. If you're applying for account management, you know, make sure that that your CV is speaking to whosoever's desk it's landing on. And then I think in the interview process itself, just come in and be professional and be confident and dress nicely and, you know, really put your best foot forward, because in Israel, Olim do stand out. You know, we are coming with different skills and different experience. And one of the reasons the companies are hiring us is because we bring something to the table that they're not finding, you know, here. So these are, you know, put on your best shirt and go and do your best.
So this is funny. You mentioned, how should an individual get dressed for an interview?
Always say, even though most of the work environments here, especially in the high tech or startup world, tend to be quite casual, I always say rather dress more presentable on your first interview. Take the time to make yourself look smart. And after that, if you get the job, then you can start wearing your short shorts,
and Hawaiian t-shirts
and whatever's going on. But the best to make a good impression would be to dress up a little nicer than you usually would.
Amazing. Last question, just before, just any final words that you want to share, is a company that's hiring their established company or their startup and they're looking at Olim, language is the number one thing. Is the perspective, is understanding the mentality of the international market. What do you think is the pain point that they're trying to address by hiring an Olé rather than someone that's local?
So that would obviously differ from role to role. I think the language, of course, is your main advantage, but they also want to know, you know, what you've done. What is your work experience and how can you apply that to what they're offering? So I think the first thing they'd look at before your education would be your work experience and what you've accomplished in your career, and try to fit that in with whatever, you know, they're offering. But you definitely can't get by just by speaking English. You have to come and bring your skills to the table as well.
Amazing, amazing. Any final words that you think would be relevant for individuals to know who are either Olim or business owners that are listening to this that are saying, okay, either I'm looking for a job or potentially I'm looking to hire a recruitment company that's based here that would be great in sourcing great talent. Any words that you want to share with them about, you know, this is really a why urban recruiters are just a great option for you? And two, is this some of the pitfalls you might want to look out for?
Sure. I can personally vouch for my recruiters here at Urban Recruits. I know that they really are super at what they do. In our office specifically, we have the English speaker, German, Russian, Spanish, Hebrew. So we have five languages that we can help in. Everyone who works in this office is actually an Olé. So, you know, we come from the perspective that we understand what you've been through. We were all there once. And we're really here to listen and to hopefully help. We can't guarantee jobs to anyone, but we can guarantee that if you need advice and you need to speak to someone or you need to consult with someone, we're here. Our doors are open. And if we can match you with a great job, even better. We're actually launching very soon after Sukkot a new job portal, which we've been working on for just over a year.
Wow.
Which is going to make the process...
It's like breakthrough news here.
Yeah, which is going to make the process of looking for a job a little bit easier. What that means is our portal is going to be totally interactive. It's a smart matching job platform, which you'll be able to register, create a profile, add all your skills and your experience, and companies will do the same. And the system will offer matches between the job seekers and the companies based on the skills. So using all sorts of AI and smart matching technology, it's going to make the job search much easier in that you won't have to look for a job. It's going to offer you jobs and vice versa for the company. So watch out for that. Because we're very proud of that and we're very excited that we'll be able to, you know, additionally offer that as well as our regular recruitment and headhunting services.
That's extremely exciting.
Yeah.
I'm going to edit this part out just because I want to actually ask this question in the beginning.
Sure.
So just because I lost a very obvious question here.
Yeah, okay.
Stephanie, you're an Ola from Johannesburg.
Yes.
You moved here more than 7 years ago. What was your initial motivation by leaving, you know, the warm community in Johannesburg to come here to Israel?
It was a really spontaneous decision. After I finished my studies, I graduated from university. I decided that I wanted to come to Israel for a year just to check it out. It wasn't my plan to come here and set up a business by any means. It really just happened along the way, and I'm glad that it did, because having the business here has given me roots. You know, I made Aliyah by myself. All of my family stayed in South Africa. And a lot of issues with Olim is, you know, a lot of the time things are hard here and you always have a backup plan. You know, if it doesn't work out, I can always go back to South Africa, or I can go back to America, or when times are hard, I have somewhere else to go. But for me, because I had the business, I sort of had a route, and I didn't afford myself the luxury of thinking, if this doesn't work out, I'm just going to go home. I was like, no ways. This is my business. I have to make it work. It's a business I'm passionate about, because at the end of the day, we're helping people and we're helping people find jobs, and it's needed. And I was lucky that I wasn't, you know, I never allowed myself to think, okay, I have a backup plan. It's never been an option. Mm. Obviously, starting a business here when you don't speak Hebrew is extremely challenging. Now I speak fluent Hebrew, but when I first moved here, it wasn't the case. I was lucky that I had a great lawyer and a great accountant, and they guided me through everything I had to know. One thing I can say, I was 24. No one sort of looked at me and was like, well, you're crazy, what are you doing? They were so supportive and so helpful. And, you know, when you go through these processes, you understand why Israel is such a great place for young businesses and for startups, because no one looks at you as being young as a bad thing. It's a great thing, you know, this is the future. So for me, that was really inspiring. I didn't feel any prejudices, and I learned Hebrew, you know, through the business. In fact, I learned how to do my accounting in Hebrew before I could order takeaways. So so it was helpful.
So the business was a great way for you to integrate into society. Into
Definitely. Definitely, definitely.
And was there something about business formation that we should just be aware of as for people who are starting a business, a small business in Israel? Is there something that you were surprised by when you were starting?
So you have three options.
Do you have a double taxation, by the way, treaty with South Africa?
No, we don't. It's not like in America.
Thank God. Okay,
thank
good.
Thank goodness. You have three options when you open a business here. You can open an Osek Patul, which is if you're just an individual who's offering services to a certain amount. You can open an Osek Moshe, which is pretty much allows you to run a business, to send invoices, you pay tax, you pay VAT, and then you have an LTD, which is a bigger corporation. So for the last 3 years, we've been running as an LTD, which also was quite a big adjustment when the business got to a sizable side, because you know, now it made accounting a lot more intricate, reports a lot more in-depth, taxes a lot higher. But as I say, if you have a good accountant and you have a good lawyer, you know, trust them, let them guide you through it. Nothing's impossible. It's not a reason not to start a business if you're flustered by, you know, a language barrier for all of these things. You can learn it.
Amazing.
Sure.
Amazing.